At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pierce, and now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast, and we've got a great podcast for you. In segment number two, we're going to be joined by the one and only John Fanta. He is an incredible play-by-play voice over at Fox Sports' college basketball coverage. Does an amazing job with the Big East, but I know that he's going to get a few other assignments this year as well. One of the best that you're going to find in college basketball. He was at A10 Media Days about a week and a half ago, so we're going to be chatting with him today. A little bit about the landscape of the Atlantic 10. He is Mr. Big East Hoops himself. We're going to be talking about him, but we're also going to be hitting upon a few other teams that are a little bit off the radar, and we're also going to be diving into a few teams that we both think are going to be looking a little bit different towards the end of the year rather than the beginning of the year. Teams that could start slow, finish strong, and vice versa. Some of the teams that we feel like have a little bit of an edge when it comes to non-conference play because they've got a lot of experience. So we're going to be talking about that with John here in segment number two. In segment number one, I'm actually going to be hitting upon a question that you guys fired into the Twitter mailbag, and love it when you guys ask these questions. I do want to answer as many as possible before the start of the college basketball season. So if you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at unit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, maybe does not matter. As per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way, that's fine, an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And on that Twitter handle as well, you are now able to take a look at all my opening night handicap lines for every D1 versus D1 game. I will throw it out there right now. Games involving non-D1 teams, so if you see like Division 3 UW Oshkosh, that's my alma mater, that would not be listed on there, but any game that is D1 versus D1, I'll be picking, analyzing those all year long. You'll be getting full podcast breakdowns of all of those, so have no fear there. But I know that I had a few questions in terms of college basketball season win totals, why we really don't see a lot of them. So I'll dive into that question right about now, as I know that a few of you guys have said, I do not know where my Twitter mailbag sounder went, so we will try to get that rounded up for the season, as we need to get into midseason form with that little sounder. But that said, I do think that when it comes to college basketball, biggest reason why you're not going to find season wins on a lot of these teams, really in too many places at all, is just because of the way that college basketball is set up. When you find season wins in terms of like Major League Baseball, NFL, even college football, you know the amount of games that all these teams are going to be playing. You know exactly who they're going to be playing against as well. When it comes to multi-team events, and by that I mean things like the Maui Invitational, the Battle for Atlantis, it's a little bit of an unknown schedule for one, and two, you don't know how many games there are going to be in general, just based on how things shake out in terms of the conference tournament, and would you have to do it in terms of just conference wins, just regular season wins, not including the non-conference tournament, because right now the only place that I am finding season wins is there's a few stray ones over at WinBet right now. Like, this is including postseason all of these, but I know that Arizona has an over-under of 27.5. Arkansas is at 26 in terms of their over-under. Baylor's at 27. Creighton's at 25.5. And I would just have a tough time being able to fire in on these because, for one, you're trying to sort of handicap how a team is going to be doing in the conference tournament and who they're going to be playing in terms of a lot of these multi-team events as well. That is really why you're not going to find a lot of season win totals at a lot of books in general, and that's why it's just so difficult to handicap, because like in baseball, you know that you're going to get 162 games. In the NFL, you know that you're getting 17 weeks, and you know exactly what the schedule is going to be. For UCLA, for instance, you just don't know who they're going to be facing off against in terms of their multi-team event. You don't know what they're going to be getting in terms of the Pac-12 tournament as well, and then with it including the postseason, what sort of a draw they're going to be getting in the NCAA tournament. If you'd be looking at a little bit more of a future, I think is a bit easier to gauge. I would say that odds to be able to win the conference during the regular season, like I know that places like DraftKings, FanDuel, you're able to go down the line. A lot of the East Coast books have been posting these up, like odds to be able to win the American is obviously very chalky in terms of Houston. You're able to get a little bit more value in terms of like Creighton being the favorite in the Big East. You're able to go down the line. I'd be looking at those futures rather than season win totals. And it's just because of the way that college basketball is set up that it makes it so difficult to be able to gauge these. Plus, you'd be having your money tied up for many, many months on a schedule that you're just a little bit unsure of. And if you do think that, for example, you've got a very hefty win total right now for Houston, you've got them over 30.5 wins, perhaps taking a future on them at DraftKings to make the Final Four would be a little bit more worthwhile, because you'd be able to get a bigger plus price. And if Houston's going to be winning more than 30 games, they're probably going deep in the NCAA tournament. So that's why you're not finding a lot of season win totals in a lot of these books, and that's why it's just very difficult to gauge in general. I'm not necessarily too much of a futures player, which is why I brought Jim Rudd on the podcast last week, and I'll probably have a few guests, not just here in the offseason, but during the season as well, touching upon futures as well to help you guys out with that. And helping us out next to get set for the upcoming season, that'd be John Fanta. Does absolutely amazing work over at Fox Sports' college basketball coverage. He's going to be joining me to talk some Atlantic 10, some Biggies, and some teams that should be able to get off to some good starts, and some teams that we think are going to heat up as the season goes along. That's up next right here on Coast Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops, and now a part of the Easy Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
Back to lovely Las Vegas for Guest Hoops with myself, Craig Hoops Spears, and now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. And always great to be joined by this guest, as this man is a national treasure. He's one of the best play-by-play voices in all of sports, and he does so over there for Fox Sports, doing all their college basketball work. He no doubt is a stand for the Big East, but on top of that, you saw him at A10 Media Days about a week or so ago as well. This man is dialed into all things college basketball and also doing some written work over there for Fox Sports' college basketball coverage. You're able to catch him on the Field of 68, as well as we're being joined by John Fanta today, who you're able to follow on Twitter at John_Fanta. Nice, clean, and easy there. And John, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Hoops. It's always great to be with you, especially with college basketball less than a week away. I am pumped, man.
I am as well, and I know that it's not necessarily going to be the most rambunctious card that we're going to be getting on that Monday, but just being able to get those teams out there on the floor is going to be tremendous, and I do think that we're going to have some very interesting basketball over on the eastern part of the country. I know that you were about a week or two ago at A10 Media Days, and I feel like a lot of people are sleeping on this conference. I think that there's two legitimate top 25 teams in St. Louis and Dayton. On top of that, they bring in Loyola Chicago. You've got more of those sleeper teams, like, to call them a sleeper because of the coaching change at Davidson, that I think is going to be very good this season. And I take a look at that conference top to bottom, and I'm very impressed by all those teams in the conference because so many of them made moves in the offseason to make themselves better.
And the fact that Rhode Island and Massachusetts are in the middle of the league's projected standings by many accounts is kind of crazy when you consider that Frank Martin and Archie Miller enter this league. Look, the Atlantic 10 is good enough to send three teams to the big dance, and who knows, maybe they could get a fourth. But this is, I think, the best the league has been, especially at the top, in at least a few years. You think about Dayton and what Anthony Grant has in Daron Holmes and in a really interesting-looking backcourt between Kobe Elvis and Malachi Smith. Dayton's got really a nice blend of talent, and the fact that they were so young last year and went through the experiences they went through, Hoops, I think makes them stronger. You think about VCU and Ace Baldwin. He's just such a dude. I mean, Ace Baldwin is a guy who's going to have a big-time year for the Rams and someone who I look at with Mike Rhodes' club, and he just sets the tone for them time and again. They've got that it factor to challenge Dayton, and you brought it up with St. Louis. I mean, it's a St. Louis team under Travis Ford that with Yuri Collins and Gibson Jimerson, guys that I look at Collins, he's one of the best point guards in the country, and people don't talk about him enough. Then you think about Francis Okoro, Fred Thatch, and Terrence Hargrove all back this season. Like, St. Louis is a team with some major, major depth, and they brought in Javon Pickett from Missouri. So to me, the offensive firepower there speaks for itself. And the point is that the Atlantic 10 has terrific depth, an opportunity to send multiple teams to the NCAA tournament. And for me, you look at the pageantry of the programs we just listed, Dayton, terrific fan base, VCU, obviously one of the hardest places to play, St. Louis, a program that's just well coached and has a great fan base as well. The A-10 should not get slept on. And this conference has real depth. And Loyola Chicago only adds to that. Drew Valentine's one of the fastest rising coaches in the country. And you know that the Ramblers are going to add some spice to this league and be a contender.
No question about it. I do think that at the top, it is going to be a very interesting race with Dayton and St. Louis. And then you mentioned Loyola Chicago, VCU. I think that you're looking at four NCAA tournament teams right there. And then, honestly, Davidson, I think, is a team that even without having Unjun Lee, which I think that that's a very big loss and one that should not be discredited, I still think that they're going to be in for a solid year, as well as John Fanta is joining me on the podcast. He does an amazing job over there at Fox Sports. And just in general, with being at A10 Media Days, is there a team or two, whether it be from the Atlantic 10 or just another team in general? Because I know you've been writing a lot to get set for the upcoming season. You've been hosting a lot of shows over there on the Field of 68 as well. As you've been doing your research the last few weeks, going to A10 Media Days, going to Big East Media Days, interviewing a lot of these coaches, that you're just left a little bit more impressed by them over the last few weeks and feel a little bit more bullish on them than you were towards the summertime at this point?
It's a good question. I would say in the Big Ten, I'm a little bit more bullish on Iowa than I thought I would be. And I say that because I think as much as Keegan Murray was incredible for the Hawkeyes, Fran McCaffrey's system isn't dependent on just one player. They play such a terrifically balanced offensive style. And I think that Chris Murray's ready to be that guy. I think Peyton Sanford is in for a breakout year. I look at it with Iowa, and to have both McCaffrey boys back as well, and Tony Perkins, who I think is a really good guard, like, the Hawkeyes have some options, Hoops. And to me, they're going to be a team that kind of gets slept on nationally entering the season, but I don't think they'll be slept on as the season goes on. So I look at Iowa, and I see a team that could be dangerous. And then, you know, when I go down the line, another team that comes to mind, actually, out of the SEC. That's right. I'm looking at Ole Miss. I think that Kermit Davis has a team that could be flying under the radar. They've got a kid in Dacian Ruffin, who's a really interesting lead guard. And then I think Matt Murrell is one of the more underrated backcourt players in the country. He averaged nearly 16 points per game in Southeastern Conference play, shooting close to 43% from beyond the arc. So for me, Ole Miss, they're a team that's kind of an afterthought going into the year in the SEC. The SEC is loaded with depth. We know about Kentucky. We know about Arkansas. Tennessee made a statement in that exhibition game against Gonzaga. But maybe it's time for Ole Miss to turn a corner under Kermit Davis. They had so many injuries last year, but they got Ty Fagan back, and they've got some young depth that could come on. So look at Iowa. Look at Ole Miss. The other team that I would look at just through my travels and through my studies, you know, I'll be interested to see if Oklahoma State, coming off that year, Hoops, they were not eligible for the NCAA tournament. I think that the way that they defend, the way that they come at you, look, it's promising. They've got some talent. Now it's just about, can they get enough perimeter shot making? And if they get enough perimeter shot making with Bryce Thompson and Avery Anderson, then the Pokes could dance this season. And I think that'd be a great story for Mike Boyden, because they got unfairly penalized last year. They deserve a nice bounce back year, but we'll see if it actually happens in a stacked Big 12. So there you go. Iowa, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma State. We cover the country here.
Yes, we certainly do. And I do think that Oklahoma State is such a fascinating team. As joining me on the podcast, we do have John Fanta, because with Oklahoma State, the biggest fear that I have with them is just who they're going to be going up against. I think without question, the Big 12 is the toughest conference in all of college basketball. They don't really have a team that I consider to be in that top three, which I've got Gonzaga, North Carolina, Houston right there, but Baylor and Kansas, they are very, very close on that front. I mean, even a team like Oklahoma that people think are going to be in the bottom two, bottom three of that conference, I think that they can make the NCAA tournament as well. I mean, West Virginia is a bunch that they're going to be bringing in Jose Perez, hopefully at some point during the season. That's a ordeal I think is very murky. But even without Fardos Amick, Texas Tech is going to be solid. TCU is a top 25 team. Texas, they take down Arkansas. You just go down the list, and I think that that could be the one limiting factor for Oklahoma State, because I take a look at Kansas State, who I think is going to be last in this conference. And if I were to put Kansas State in the Pac-12, I think that they would be in the top half of that conference. Meanwhile, in the Big 12, they might finish last.
Yeah, they might finish last, but they are not a last-place team. The Big 12 is, once again, college basketball's best conference until somebody says otherwise or shows otherwise. They've sent a team to the Final Four each season since 2018. You think about the fact that Bob Huggins was staring at last place last year. Like, that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous, because he's so much better than that, but that's just how humbling the Big 12 can be. With Kansas State, in Jerome Tang's first season, they need Marquise Noel, a 5'8" point guard, to step up for them, and they need Desi Sills to join him and make things happen. And when I look at the Big 12 in general, like, I think Iowa State, I think Oklahoma, to me, had a pretty nice offseason. I mean, Grant Shurfield, bringing him in from Nevada, Shurfield's been one of the most underrated players in the country. I mean, he averaged nearly 20 per game Hoops and 6 assists per game over the past couple of seasons. So Grant comes in and began his career at Wichita State. He's going to come in and make a huge impact. I think that Oklahoma's got the pieces. I think that they could be a dark horse. And I think Iowa State, as much as offense and some injuries could be a concern, like, if they're near the bottom, that's just crazy to think, because they made the Sweet 16 a year ago.
Yep, I think that Oklahoma State is going to be in for a very fascinating season. And you just look at Grant Shurfield, who you were talking about a minute ago. If you look at a set called Hands on Buckets, that's just how many of the team's total points, the percentage of those points that a player either assists or scores themselves, he was one of the top players in all of college basketball last season in terms of his usage. So I do think that that is important to take note of. And something else that's important to take note of is the main conference that you covered, John. I remember about a month or so ago, you joined me to take a look at the Big East. And I think that we're both in agreement on this. I take a look at a lot of these early season rankings. I take a look at things like Bart Torovic, Ken Pomeroy, and they do amazing work with their analytics. But I'm not sure about you, but it feels like Butler is getting a little bit undervalued in terms of those Bringing in a guy like a Manny Bates, I think, is very solid. I don't think taken into account enough in terms of those analytics is just how good of a coach Thad Mata is, because I know that KenPom had Butler as pretty much the last team out there in the Big East. And if Butler finishes as the last team in the Big East, I'll go eat my hat, because that just feels a little bit ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Bulldogs bringing in Eric Hunter Jr. from Purdue. He's a winner. He's a tough player. He's a good defender. You combine him with Chuck Harris and Simos Lucosius, and then you have Manny Bates from NC State. Now, Bates, to me, is going to be an elite shot blocker. I mean, an elite shot blocker, rim protector, you name it. I think Bates' game is big time. I look at their situation, and I see a team that defensively is going to be solid. I think the biggest thing with Butler is, can they in fact play faster and make things happen consistently on the offensive end of the floor? They can't just be relying on Harris to get them buckets. They got to make more happen than that. Ali's an X-factor, 6'8" senior, transferring in from Akron. I think it is interesting to look out for Jaden Taylor, a sophomore guard who I've seen and I think will take a leap for them. They're going to be missing Jalen Thomas for a little bit. He's been dealing with a bit of a medical issue here. So they're going to miss him due to a pulmonary embolism. But I think with Butler, to have Bates protecting the rim and to have Harris, Lucosius, and now Hunter together, yeah, Butler's a dangerous team here this year. And I don't think they're going to be last. In fact, I think they could sneak up on some people as the year goes on. I think the Big East has some teams that are definitely going to be different come February, March than what they'll be in November. The question, Hoops, is like any league, do you rack up enough wins in November and December to have a shot at the tournament come January, February, and March? That's the question for a team like Butler. It's the question for a team like Marquette, who surprised us all last year and made it to the tournament. The problem with Marquette is they lose Justin Lewis. They don't have a ton of firepower after. It's the question for a team like St. John's. I don't think anybody has a bigger year on his plate than Mike Anderson at St. John's entering year four. He's got to put it together.
I agree with you. I do think that it's going to be key for a lot of these Big East teams, because I do think that there's going to be a lot of teams that they're going to be looking a little bit different when it comes to February or March, rather than what you take a look at in like November and December. And I know that there's been a lot made out of these exhibition matches, which I don't make a lot out of them, but there is one team that struggled over the weekend that I think that they're a textbook example of this, and they're outside the Big East, and that would be Arkansas, a team that lost by 30 in their game against Texas. How much do you take a look at a team like Arkansas and just evaluate their games in, say, November, December, differently than February and March? Because I do think that with Texas, they no doubt are going to be ahead of a team like in Arkansas right now. But at the same time, if these two teams were to, say, do battle in March, I think that we could see a completely different result than what we saw over the weekend.
Yeah, totally. I mean, when you look at Arkansas and all the new that they have, like Nick Smith is as good of a pro prospect in college basketball this season, but we know with freshmen, it takes guys time, or at least it typically does. Maybe it won't for Smith, but it typically does. Anthony Black, like how does he figure in at 6'7", a guy that I think is going to be superb in the way he can handle the ball and the way that he can even make plays from the wing. He's like a point wing, if you will. And so for Arkansas, like with Smith, Black, and then Jordan Walsh, there's just so much new, not to mention the fact that they really loaded up in the transfer portal. I mean, they really loaded up with so much roster overhaul by bringing in Trayvon Brazil from Missouri and the Mitchell brothers from Rhode Island, Ricky Council IV, who was the American Athletic Conference Sixth Man of the Year last year. Like, I think that's kind of Must Bus's whole MO, Greg, and he's shown us his teams are ready to play come March. So I'm with you. Like, it's very hard to judge teams out of the hopper because there is so much new. And that's why the teams with a lot of experience have an advantage. I mean, that's why a team like TCU has a pre-existing advantage. I think Baylor and the fact they have Adam Flagler and LJ Cryer back, they've got a nice advantage. I think North Carolina has that advantage. I'm actually curious to see how Carolina avoids being complacent. I think that's really important to see it. You know who's got a great advantage, Hoops, is Virginia, because they do return so much. And last year was tough to swallow as they missed the NCAA tournament. So it's hard to judge teams throughout the year. Certain teams come on late, and it's about who's hottest. Certain teams just aren't themselves early in the season because they're still trying to figure certain things out. I think Kansas is a team I'm really curious to see what they look like early. Because, look, Ochai Agbaji did so much for that team last year. David McCormick did so much for that team last year. Christian Brown, too. They're relying on Grady Dick and Kevin McCullough and perhaps Zach Clements, I guess, at the five, like the five position, Ernest Udeh, who's going to play the five for Kansas? Some of those questions to answer early end up leading teams to being a lot better late, but sometimes they have to figure things out. And I think Arkansas is probably the biggest example of that. You know who else is a huge example of that? Purdue. You know Purdue's going to be better come February and March than what they are early.
Yep, and with Purdue, I think the big question mark is what you're able to get out of guys outside of Zach Edey, who was one of the most dominant defensive players when he was out there on the floor last year, a high-usage guy. But at the same time, when you're 7'5", like he is, one of the giants of the earth, conditioning, that could be a little bit of an issue. But a man who is conditioned to just always deliver great college basketball information and great calls, that would be you, John. The college basketball season is right around the corner. As we're recording this, 5 days away from the start of the college basketball season, I know that you're all geared up for it. I know that you're going to be calling a bunch of great games this season. So love the good people at home. Know it's all that for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Well, you can follow me at John, J-O-H-N underscore Fanta. You can follow my work at FoxSports.com and on FS1 throughout the season, as well as the CAA on CBS Sports Network. I'm excited for the Colonial Hoops. Watch out for Towson. They have not been in the NCAA tournament since the early 1990s. That could change this season. So those are some of the places you can find me this season.
Oh, I love that you bring up Towson, the clear number one out there in a little bit of a new-look Colonial. They lose a few teams, but they bring in the likes of Stony Brook, North Carolina, A&T, Hampton. So that is going to be a very fascinating conference, and I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to everything that John Fanta brings to the table because he does an amazing job covering college basketball. A big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast Coast Hoops, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. Didn't get a whole heck of a lot of news and notes today. Jameson Battle, it appears as though, as expected, is going to be out for opening night for Minnesota. A little bit to be expected. I'll be brushing upon that a little bit more tomorrow if we do get some more news and notes. But with that said, if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @JNR_41. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way, that's find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, very much appreciated from there. You're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast. Find that 5-star review. 5 days left until the start of the college basketball season. I'll be having my final conference preview, the Pac-12 conference preview, up within the next 72 or so hours. Rusty's podcast, just getting you prepped for the upcoming season. Then when it comes that Monday, November 7th, that's when we start it up. Picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I'll chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for being here.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.